Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Courtney. Courtney is the co-founder of Timothy Syndrome Alliance and mom to a five-year-old daughter with this condition. She has been a legislative advocate for this rare disease and the community for the past 5 years, primarily working on legislation by state. She's the founder and principal of Policy Served Rare, a patient-centered think tank focusing on policy that focuses on health and mental health care for the rare disease community. Courtney is joining us today to discuss an extremely rare condition called Timothy Syndrome. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi there. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
My first question to you is, what about the disease itself? What actually is Timothy Syndrome?
So Timothy Syndrome, it's a rare genetic disorder, presents itself immediately at birth. Right now, it affects approximately about 100 children worldwide. And the average life expectancy for that disease is 5.5 years for girls, 4.5 years for boys. So we don't have a lot of adult patients right now. We have one patient who has survived to the age of 28. Mm. A lot of people also refer to it as long QT type 8. Long QT is a little, it's still a rare disease, but it's a little less rare when taken all together. Most cases of Timothy syndrome are actually caused by a spontaneous or de novo mutation, meaning that the parents are not necessarily carriers. There are some cases of mosaicism where a parent will not have Timothy syndrome, but some cells in their body do carry the mutation while most do not. Long QT is really the most prevalent system. And for those who don't know, long QT is it's a measurement of how long it takes your heart to repolarize between beats. So for children with Timothy syndrome, typically what happens is the top part of the heart will send a super shock to the bottom chambers, and those chambers will take additional time than a normal heart would to repolarize and then beat normally. Timothy syndrome does affect the entire body. So most of the children do have neurological delays or somewhere on the autism spectrum. We are also finding a relation as these children do get older, if they do get older, a relation between bipolar disorder and schizophrenia with Timothy syndrome as well. And so that is a pretty interesting thing that I think we're going to really start to look at in the future. They have trouble regulating body temperature. They have trouble regulating blood sugar. Most of them do have to take some form of growth hormone as they are very small. My daughter's 5 years old, and she is about the size of a three-year-old right now.
And is this something that can be detected before birth?
It is, it can be detected, but it primarily is not. In our specific case, I knew after the first ultrasound that something was, in fact, wrong with Theodora and her heart. We were lucky enough to get into a clinical trial for an FMCG, which is, in layman's terms, basically a fetal electrocardiogram. So see her heart. And it uses biomagnetism, and it's really a cool process. So we knew that she had long QT within the first hour of being part of this study. It wasn't until she was born with the syndactyly, the fusion of the fingers and toes, that we knew that it was long QT type 8 or Timothy syndrome.
Okay.
Most children, what happens is they are born with syndactyly. They think it's normal syndactyly. they go to do the surgery. The child will go into cardiac arrest under anesthesia, and that's when they start to suspect Timothy syndrome.
Courtney, I can't even imagine the pain that you must have felt at that time. On your intake form, you mentioned that you wanted to discuss the mental health toll that this Timothy syndrome has had on you and your family.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've really become a strong advocate for is mental health care, particularly for caretakers. In Timothy syndrome, that is a huge issue. You know, I never ask anyone to feel sorry for me, but when Theodora was born, you know, it was an emergency delivery, and I was laying in the hospital bed, and they came in and they said, she has Timothy syndrome. It's so rare. We don't know anything about it. Oh, and the life expectancy is 2.5 years.
Oh my goodness.
And the doctor was very kind about it. It wasn't necessarily that harsh, but as a parent, that's what you heard.
Right.
And I think, you know, and he said, do you want to talk to someone? You know, we can get a chaplain here. We can get a social worker in here. And I think in that moment, I was so stunned that I just, no, I'm fine. It's okay. And it wasn't probably until Theodora was about a year old and we had done multiple surgeries. We had been in the hospital numerous times that I really realized I was not okay. I was in the parking garage leaving a routine appointment for her, and I just started sobbing. And I sort of felt at that point, the way our system is currently designed, I really didn't have any resources to go and look for help or even who to talk to. And it really feels like, as you talk to people in the rare disease community, when you're the parent of a child who has a horrible diagnosis, they'll usually ask in the beginning, do you want to talk to someone? But it becomes sort of this then or never situation, you know, and you're dealing with some pretty big things. I mean, you're dealing with 4 hours after a child's being born being told that they'll probably not survive to see kindergarten. And I think you really making sure that people, especially with Timothy syndrome, and particularly as parents get involved in communities and they see other children with that disease not survive. In the last year and a half, 2 years, we've lost 6 Timothy syndrome children.
Oh, it's terrible.
And so, you know, even as a parent, my daughter is, you know, she goes to kindergarten and she's an amazing little girl, but it still hits you. Why me? Why is my little girl okay, but these other 6 didn't make it? And is tomorrow going to be the day, or the next day going to be the day? And those are all very morbid things to think, but you can't help but have your mind go there sometime.
And I'm sure that being a tight-knit community, because it's such a rare disease, you draw strength from each other socially.
Absolutely.
And the strength is there as long as everyone's child is still doing well.
And you also probably get to really, you know, get to know those families.
Right, and you become a part of their families.
Of course.
So you're kind of grieving with them for their children as well, besides your own, because it's such a tight bond, right?
Absolutely. And I think with Timothy syndrome, it becomes even more difficult because the leading cause of death is sudden cardiac arrest. And so I like to say, my baby will be fine until she isn't.
Right.
And then medical intervention may or may not help.
Mm-hmm.
When we first founded Timothy Syndrome Alliance, my other co-founder, she lost her child. And we were all together in Salt Lake City to do paperwork and sort of set up how we wanted to run the organization. And I remember Lee running around and just, you know, being a typical 5-year-old little boy. And she had looked at me and she said, he's doing so well. And November, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he, his blood sugar dropped and then his heart wasn't functioning properly. And that was what happened.
Right.
And so that sort of hits you hard, where you see this little boy who's just vivacious. He was vivacious the morning that he passed. He was vivacious when he went to school that day. And by lunchtime, he just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that it does take a toll, and that we have to protect parents in those sort of situations and continuously ask, are you okay? Do you need to talk to someone?
Right. Because in the back of your mind, as a parent, you're worried, you know, is today the day? I mean, parents don't think that way.
Right.
I mean, some parents are overprotective, yes, but do you find yourself being overprotective, or have you found yourself saying, let her live whatever way she would like to live, and you're more giving?
Right. Do you allow her to take risks?
Right.
So Theodora is, we have a blended family. So I have four children. Her father has three from a previous relationship. So she comes from a lot. There's a lot of kids.
Okay.
Which I think has helped us sort of really have this attitude of let her live her life.
Okay.
Because she's going to notice. She's going to notice when her brothers and sisters are doing things and we say, oh, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. I would say her 7-year-old brother is way more overprotective than her dad and I are. You know, he constantly says, Theodora, sit down, your heart.
You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness.
And we're just like, baby, she's fine. Let her mm-hmm. play, you know, but he worries about her. And I don't want to say way more than her parents, but, you know, he's much more vocal about it than we are.
But now you're bringing up another point, that not just the parents have the mental stress of worrying about their child, but the siblings as well are worried about something that they typically don't.
Right, absolutely. And Henry is my 7-year-old, and he is very sensitive. He's always just a sensitive soul. He's always bad.
Is this what Timothy Alliance is doing? Tell me about the Alliance. What exactly is that doing?
So right now, what we're focusing on is scientific research and education. And then we are focusing as well on really building our community. So a lot of the funds that we raise right now is used to send people to the conference. The cost of caring for a Timothy syndrome child is very expensive. So it guarantees that everyone can make it. Once a year, we all get together. It's actually part of a larger conference with the SADS Foundation.
Okay.
And they were kind enough to sort of let us combine their conference and our conference so we can share resources.
Okay.
And then as far as education, you know, one of the things is no one knows anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's hard to research something that's that rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so as you were talking about how we are such a tight community, well, we also talk about a lot of these anecdotal symptoms. You know, blood sugar regulation was a huge one. We all thought it was just this weird thing. And as we're talking, it turns out all the kids have these weird drops in blood sugar that are completely unexplained. So we do have some researchers right now in Germany that are very interested in finding more out about the endocrinological aspect of Timothy syndrome, because that has never been studied.
Okay.
In fact, I am not even sure if you will see that as a symptom on the NIH page yet. But we're pushing for it because it's one of the big ones.
Right. Is it difficult to find knowledgeable healthcare providers for this syndrome?
It is. And what I tell new patients that come to our community, or what I would tell anyone with a new diagnosis in the rare disease community, is if you can get to somebody who has, you know, the best clinic and the best doctor for your disease, do it. But if you can't, for whatever reason, you know, look for someone who's at least willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Theodora's electrophysiologist or cardiologist, the day she was born, he had been brought in in case she had an event. And he was the one that gave me the diagnosis. And I will never forget this. He looked at me and said, I've never heard of this before. But give me a few hours to make some calls.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important, is that he just said he was honest, mm-hmm. he was forthcoming, and mm-hmm. he'll do the research when he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and does, you know, like with the world the way it is nowadays with you know, telecommunications and everything. I'm wondering, does that help physicians and caregivers also learn more about this condition? And then also, do you use telemedicine at all? I know there's, you know, mental health counselors and psychiatrists that are available through telemedicine so that you can, you know, get the assistance you need at any time and from anywhere, and all you need is a cell phone. Have you, you know, have any, has that affected how Theodora is treated at all, or has that, that not come into play at all?
Not particularly for Theodora.
Okay.
I know many in our community have, but we actually are about 4.5 hours from the top long QT clinic in the nation, and one of the only doctors who has seen multiple Timothy syndrome children. So she's seen in Milwaukee regularly, and then she goes to Rochester, Minnesota, to Mayo,
right,
a few times a year, once a year, maybe twice a year if something's going on. So we're very blessed in that way, but we do have families, you know, in California that will use telemedicine and work that way because it's not feasible for them to come to Minnesota regularly.
Sure,
sure. Absolutely.
And have you always lived that close to the facility, or did you actually move to be closer to that facility?
I've always lived closer, that close. I'm about an hour from Milwaukee, 4.5 hours from Mayo, and it, you know, I like southern Wisconsin.
I mean, four and a half hours sounds far, but when you're 4.5 hours from something as great as Mayo, that's really kind of a reasonable distance, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And anytime she's had procedures or we had a hospitalization, she had gotten sick on the trip up one time. You know, Ronald McDonald House is amazing, and they seem to always be able to fit us in. So.
Okay. Now, I didn't really do, it's kind of hard to research Timothy syndrome because there's not much out there, but are pacemakers available since it's a regulatory problem within the heart? Is that something that can help?
Yes. So what they typically will do is they'll put in a pacemaking device, and then they will do what's called a denervation, and the left sympathetic nerve will actually be cut in the
heart. So they do RF ablation?
Yeah. Theodora does not have a pacemaker yet, and part of that is because of her size. Her QT interval is relatively controlled with medication.
Okay.
And so the doctor, our cardio team just feels that she's too little. One of the things about pacemakers and is that you have to go in and you have to change batteries. You have to go in and change leads.
Right.
For Timothy syndrome children, this becomes a complication because they have a really high risk of infections that they cannot get rid of.
Okay.
And since she has never had a cardiac event, it's sort of taken as, well, why are we just doing this surgery and opening up to the risks with anesthesia, the risks with infection, you know, just so she has it. For our parent, it's kind of daunting because you're sort of like, well, but if she has an event, she would already have it.
Right.
But then on the flip side, you're like, but I also don't want to just do surgeries to do surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fine line, and I'm gonna trust our team on this one. I think.
Oh, of course. Right. Well, you have to.
Right, and it sounds like you have created the support structure around you and your family, and found amazing physicians and learned so much. I mean, you're speaking so eloquently about this, and you obviously have done extensive research yourself and learned ever so much. You should have a mommy MD.
Well, one of the things that I always tell people too, especially with a new diagnosis, when it's really rare, the information you have is typically medical journals. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a science background. I don't have a medicine background. And so I just started reading them. And when I wouldn't understand something, if I had a question, a lot of times I would reach out to the researchers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, Dr. So-and-so, I've read your paper. You say, you know, quote what I didn't understand and then ask my question.
Wow.
I have never once had a researcher not call me or email me back.
Oh, that's amazing.
But you personally you're a dynamo.
Yeah.
I can't think of many people personally that would take that kind of step.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I mean, you do want to do what you can for your child, but that's a pretty big step.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Right. Right.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I feel like there was such little information that I had to see what I could find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that my daughter Theodora is doing that no other kid is doing right now is taking a drug called Verapamil, which is a calcium channel blocker.
Right.
Most of them are on betas and that's it. And the other symptoms, they just are what they are. She was having trouble with a repeated drop in blood sugar. Sometimes her blood sugar would get as low as 30, and we had no idea why. She hasn't had a blood sugar incident since.
Okay.
Good.
And that came a lot from just researching and then reaching out to authors of papers and saying, hey, I have a child with Timothy syndrome. I've read your paper. Do you think this could work for, you know, this particular mechanism in the human body?
That's amazing.
And sometimes they'll say, no, it doesn't work like that. And you say, well, okay. But sometimes hoping, they say,
right.
You know, that might work.
Sure.
And when there aren't approved treatments, when there aren't cures, you have to do whatever you can,
mm-hmm.
You know, to prolong any adverse effect.
Right. Getting back to the mental health status of the families, do you have, let's say, a monthly retreat that you get together and you say, okay, this is going to be our time to de-stress or, you know, just to kind of balance yourselves somehow?
We don't. I mean, we try to just spend time together. I think one of the things that I've learned over the course of 5 years is that it's not just even as a family. I try to do mommy and whoever days,
mm-hmm.
You know, mommy son days and mommy daughter days. And then just take one child, mm-hmm. and do something special with, mm-hmm. just them so that they don't get lost in the diagnosis and
right.
they don't get lost in doctor's appointments and surgeries and illnesses that aren't theirs. You know, I want them to feel special too. We did, when our co-founder lost her son, I did go through a really deep depression. And spent most of the fall and spring just very, very depressed. And then in May, I decided that we were taking a road trip. And so I loaded up the four children and bought a bunch of camping supplies. And we went from Wisconsin, we went all the way to the far northwest corner of Washington State. And
oh, wow.
Camped for 3 months.
Oh,
for 3 months?
Yeah, me and my children in the wilderness for the entire summer.
Wow.
Did you have a background in camping? Have you done it prior to that?
I hadn't been camping in about 15 years prior to that, and the children never had been.
And it was just you and the kids?
Yeah, Dad had to stay home and work, so yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, my family will lovingly refer to it as the summer I had a nervous breakdown. And I think that they're not really that far off. I definitely, you know, maybe wasn't thinking the clearest, but I didn't regret it because mm-hmm. we do have that entire summer of just great memories
mm-hmm.
and us time, just us.
Right.
Sure.
And it, you know, and I was safe. I did clear it with her doctor before I took her out in the wilderness. I mean, I did plan this a little, just not as well as I think some of my family would have liked me to. But I covered all the important bases.
Okay. But there's something to be said for the therapy that you get of being in the wilderness. So just doing that, just taking that step might have been the healthy benefit that you all needed at that point.
Right.
Rather than Absolutely. Considering it to be a breakdown, I think it was a step in the right direction.
Yes. No, and I totally agree. And I, you know, I remember looking at my older son and saying, you know, he's very serious. He's a very serious child. And he said, Mom, what are you doing? And I said, you know, listen, if something happens to your sister, we have this great summer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and on the plus side, though, the kids ask me every time it gets warm, Mom, where are we going this year?
There you go.
I may have created a monster.
you have a bunch of adventurers now. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how about your family? I don't know if you have a big extended family. You know, have they been supportive through this?
Very much so. I actually don't have a large family at all. We're a very, very small family, but they are just amazing. Every single one of them. And they've really been amazingly supportive. I think the news, you know, in the beginning was very hard for everyone. And no one really wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sort of became the thing we all know. And so it's much easier for us to talk about it and say, you know, hey, you know, we may not have a lifetime. You know, she may never get married. She may never go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things. And we don't have to have big lengthy discussions about them, but it's all understood, you know, and they're very supportive in kind of whatever path I think our family needs to take.
Sure.
And what advice would you have for someone who's recently had a child diagnosed with Timothy syndrome?
The best thing you can do is do not Google. And I say that, you know, with a little bit of humor, but I remember that coming home and Googling it and just seeing article after article after article by very reputable sources, the NIH, you know, these places that are absolutely trustworthy, you know, saying, oh, you know, things are horrible. Things are horrible and this is going to end poorly. And you know, and I think when you're newly diagnosed, even though that may be the reality, it's very hard. It's very hard to know that there's nothing for resources. You know, there's really not a lot of research being done. It's overwhelming. That was the most overwhelming thing for me. I think even more than the diagnosis. I remember sitting in the hospital 2 days after I had had her and I was sobbing. And I looked at her dad and I said, I would rather she had cancer because at least there'd be support groups.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is a terrible thing to say, but at the same time, there was nothing at that point for us.
Right.
You know, I had this baby that I didn't know how to take care of, that I was told was going to die. And you just being on the internet did not help me.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
And so we're trying, you know, as the organization grows, we're trying to make sure that all, you know, at least the major hospitals. Because if you do have a child born with Timothy syndrome and diagnosed with Timothy syndrome, chances are you will be sent to a larger hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of children who are seen at CHOP. We have a lot of children who are seen in San Diego from all over those regions. And so we're trying really hard to just make sure that every cardiology unit associated with those hospitals knows we exist and we're here and we have a great support network. We have three co-founders, myself, another mom, and then Catherine Timothy, who is actually the research assistant who discovered the gene.
Oh.
So we have some amazing resources and an amazing support staff. We have people who have brand new babies. You know, we have the mom of the 28-year-old. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, really nothing that no one has never been through before. Like somebody has an answer. Maybe I don't. Maybe Catherine has never seen it before, but somewhere has that answer or things they've done or haven't worked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd like to thank you very much, Courtney, for sharing your story with us today. And what is the website for the Timothy Alliance?
It is www.sads.org/TSA.
Oh, okay.
How can our listeners learn more about you and your journey?
Any books, blogs?
Yeah, anything out there?
Right now, I really primarily have been using Twitter. I keep saying I'm going to do a blog, and I haven't done it yet, which is a testament to my own procrastination. But yeah, so I do have my Twitter page, Instagram. I post a lot of stuff about Theodora on Instagram to kind of keep her. And then Theodora actually has her own Facebook page, and that's at Theodora Elise.
Okay,
and
great.
And we do, you know, it isn't all just my Theodora. It's actually, we do try to post a lot of things about Timothy syndrome, a new research coming up or exciting things that are happening in the world of Timothy syndrome. And I think the way things have been going the past year, there'll be a lot more exciting things on the horizon for us as an organization and as a patient population.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, that's something we'll keep an eye out for, and we look forward to hearing more about. I want to thank you for being just not only an amazing guest, an amazing mom, but just such a dynamic person. And we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
For sure. For sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.